Lane and Ellison in the morning. 96.3 WDVD.
Happy Thursday.
From someone who really cares.
96.3 WDVD.
What's on your mind? We'd really like to hear.
He's the man. He's the myth. He's the legend. He's psychologist Dr. Stephen Craig. Woo! Can I get a what? What?
And he just won the triple crown of psycho analyzing people.
There's a triple crown for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's me, Allison, Dana. You win. You come in here every week and you therapize the people of Detroit, but really you're therapizing us. What if that is a word?
It's not.
Nah. Sorry, man. So Dr. Steve is here. He's an actual psychologist. DrStephenCraig.com. His book, The Five Hot Dudes.
Wait.
The Six Husbands Every Wife Should Have.
Yeah. Have you read that yet?
I started reading
it. What chapter are you on?
Yeah.
Chapter.
What page?
11.
Yeah.
The morning.
I'm going to read this email now before you say more stuff.
Dr. Steve is an author and a psychologist, yes. And he's here to help.
Dear Blaine, Allison, and Dana, I'm writing you for some help with something that has been troubling me for many years. My problem is that I just can't shake the feeling that I've been a huge failure to my children. Their father and I divorced when they were young, and I'm all they've really had for most of their life. Their father is an extremely successful executive, and he has lived an exciting life while he traveled all over the world with his job. He's even lived in several different countries for years while I was home raising the children. They would go to these cool places to visit him twice a year on his dime because I couldn't afford it. Many of their friends have parents who are also highly successful or acclaimed in their field, but I'm just an administrative assistant. I've always longed to give my kids a better role model or someone they could look up to, but again, all I've been able to provide for them is a rundown home and a career that's hardly impressive. They all long to achieve great things in their life and have done excellent in school, and they are also good people, but I feel like that is all done in an attempt to please their father, who expects them to have the same huge achievements he has. Now that they are older, they are all pursuing highly successful careers around the world, and I'm afraid they are all going to go chasing him around the world while I stay here. They're all in their late teens and early 20s now, so I feel like it's too late for me to change. I know you'll think I should appreciate all I've done for them and what I've helped them become, and I do realize this, so that's not what I'm asking. I want to know what I do when their father and many people around them are all so much more successful than me. How do I not feel like I did the basic work while he gets all the accolades for being such an important person? Since he's so impressive, am I always doomed to feel second rate? And if so, how do I feel okay once my children are gone? And this is from Jill.
313-298-9630. If you'd like to be a junior psychologist, we'll see if your advice matches that of the real psychologist, Dr. Steve.
You know how sometimes when I'm reading an email
get sad?
No. I'll be reading an email and I'll be like choking on my like, I can't believe that you're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never read an email before where I wanted to cry the whole time. Like, that really made me sad, Jill.
This one reminded me of one we had a few weeks back where there was a mom who felt like she wasn't quite as good as she could be, you know, and she was afraid that her kid was going to end up a lot like her. I don't get it. Sometimes, you know, we talked about this. You said something during, I think it was Hollywood Dish. No, it wasn't during Hollywood Dish. It was when we were talking about the welfare thing about an hour ago. And you said, I thought this was great. You said, you know, to be comfortable in your own skin and to be confident and to go out there and do whatever you have to do, that is a great thing. That's a great gift to have. Just because you're not an executive, just because you don't make a ton of money, Jill, doesn't mean you're not successful. It doesn't mean that you haven't made a great contribution. And I think you should be happy with that. And I guess I just don't understand. She should be happy that the fact that her kids are growing up to be well-rounded people and that they have ambition and that they're trying hard. That didn't just come from him. That came from her, too. She helped nurture that. Don't you agree?
She did all the nurturing of that.
Yeah, she did all of it.
She's the one that did that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't quite get it. I mean, I don't know what to tell her, though, to make her, to convince her otherwise. You know, I mean, she believes so strongly what she believes in this email. Dana, what do you think?
I think she's looking down on herself. She's holding herself to that level that, you know, that her ex-husband has set for himself. She's actually, to me, she's belittling her own self. She's doing this to herself. She feels that his goals and achievements and what he's lauded for should be hers. And it works, like you said, it's like she does the nurturing. It's different in every relationship.
Allison, what do you think about this?
Jill, I got so sad when I read your email because you should, I mean, I feel so bad that you feel this way about yourself, and I want you to stop it today. I want you to stop feeling like this today. First of all, one thing I would tell you, and he maybe he'd admit to it, maybe he wouldn't, but I guarantee you that your ex-husband has these same guilts that you feel, that you have, for opposite reasons, that he was absent the entire time. Sure, he has this glamour that he can afford the kids and these exciting places they can go to, but he missed out on all the stuff, the scraped knees that you were there for, the kids were mean to me at school, the tummy aches, the help with the homework. That was all you, Jill. And the stuff that your kids are going to remember you for are those things, and you can't put a price tag on them. And we don't judge people. We shouldn't judge people on things like worldly, exotic careers and money and cars and fun vacations. That doesn't make you look at some of these momagers and celebrity parents, the Jenners and the Hiltons.
Yep,
and
yep.
Look at all of that stuff. I wouldn't.
Do you want to be that person?
I wouldn't want those moms.
Right.
But I'm happy for the mom that I have. And every single time you helped us, you fixed a scraped knee or nursed a broken heart, that's the stuff that they remember. And you have to not put yourself down anymore because you're a great mom and that's what your job was. So you won the Triple Crown at it.
Yeah, you're like Miguel Cabrera.
You're
the
Miguel Cabrera of moms.
Hey, Frank, what do you think?
I think that the dad is more like a shiny toy. You know, they're attracted to the fact that he's out, he's doing all this stuff. But the mom really, you know, she does a good job doing the best with what she's got. And I think she's got to really focus on that. She doesn't have a whole lot of money, but it doesn't really take a whole lot of money to be a great person or a great mom.
Yep. No, I mean, it takes time and it takes being there. And it's like Allison was saying, she was there for all those little moments that actually are huge. And he wasn't. And she should be happy about that. Frank, thanks for the call.
How many sports figures do you hear from? Actresses, people in the limelight that talk about their upbringing, how they didn't even have dinner on the table.
Yep.
But they had these parents and these moms that every single day, you know, even if they made tomato soup out of hot water and ketchup, but they made sure they went to the bed with a warm dinner in their belly, you know?
Michael Phelps and his mom. Think about that relationship. Michael Phelps adores his mother, and she did so much for him. LaShawn, what do you think?
I just think that she's, like, totally wrong. Like the first caller said, dad is a shiny toy, and she's been there. She's been there to, you know, I got 102 temperature, mommy sitting in the bed with me. That's what they're going to remember. But yeah, they remember, oh, we went to Maui with dad. But when I broke my leg, mom was there. Mom made sure I had my medicine. Mom. So she's just totally wrong. I think she's putting more weight on what the dad did. Maybe she's still bitter about the divorce or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, she needs to get over that.
Or maybe bitter about the divorce or just bitter that, you know, he was able to have all of these shiny, exciting things and she didn't get that because,
because you can have a shiny time at the park.
Right.
Sure, you can.
Right.
You are right.
Waiting to go into school and the eyeball kissing.
Right on, so LaShawn.
Thanks, LaShawn. Appreciate
the
call. Yeah, that's, you know what? Maybe she's also sad because she says her kids are in their late teens and early 20s. Her time of really that kind of stuff, the time at the park, that's coming to an end.
Well, she knows that they're leaving, and she's afraid now, will they leave and think she cheated them?
Right.
And it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Let's grab one more. Diane, you see yourself as a junior psychologist this morning. What do you think about Jill's situation?
She seems like she has low self-esteem, so she needs to get to the root of that problem because anyone who's a mother that raises good kids that stay off of drugs, go to college, and graduates high school needs to pat herself on the back, especially this day and age, especially if you're divorced.
Yeah,
but if she really needs to build up her self-esteem, then maybe she should get into some charity organizations, go back to school, get her degree, become a foster parent, do something that is worthwhile with her life now that her kids are grown up if that's the way she needs to judge her own life skills.
I think that's great advice, Diane. If she feels incomplete because while she was being a mom, she maybe thinks that she missed out on some of these other things that could have elevated her personally, now she has that time to do that.
Right. I'm 57 years old, and I went back to school to get my bachelor's degree.
Sweet. That's awesome, Diane.
Way to go.
Seriously, that's so... Did you get it?
I'm 12 credits away now.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, and thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Dr. Steve, so let's say Jill's in your office presenting the situation as she did in the email. What do you say to her?
Well, what I would do is I would give her a little quiz, and I'm going to give it to you guys. So get your pen and paper out.
All right.
Ready?
Man, this is quiz day.
Yeah, like
quiz day. Can I spell Ulysses again?
Yeah. I'll remember the E this time.
Spell it wrong. Okay. Miguel Cabrera just won the MVP.
Mm-hmm. That's the triple crown.
Triple crown. We think he's going to win the MVP. That's the most valuable player. Name the last five most valuable players. Except Verlander last year.
That's all I know.
Right.
Right.
Name any in the National League.
Nope.
They're the most valuable player. We can't remember who they are.
Right.
Name five, the president of five countries. Good. Can't do that one either.
Right.
Name the president of five companies.
That one guy.
There's our president.
He wrote a book.
That one guy. Yeah.
Okay.
I might be able to come up with that, actually.
Name five Nobel Peace Prize winners.
Or Nobel.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Obama.
Name five people.
Did he really?
He won a Nobel Prize, not a peace.
Yeah. Name the five people with the most Facebook friends.
Allison.
Oh, man. Okay.
Obviously, the point is we can't do that because we never remember achievers. We remember people who have an impact on our lives. Thing is, you can't connect to facts and achievements. You connect to people who share their lives with you and have an impact on you.
Emotion.
Right. So now we'll do another quiz.
Can I just interject really quick, just based on something that he just said and how true that is?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a nanny very early in life, and I had two girls, twins, who are both in grad school now. And one of my twins just reached out the other day and was going through something and wanted to talk to me. And we talked for a little while, and we ended the conversation with the time that we were, you know, had together.
Mm-hmm.
Meant a lot to you. Meant a lot to her.
Right. How it's still important.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that, but
but Allison,
it makes me feel good because I took care of them for...
When they were little.
Yeah, and now they're big girls and they still
reach out to you.
Yeah.
Oh, we couldn't have set that up better. That was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Way to go, Barbara Walters, Dr. Steve.
So exactly. Here's my point. We'll do it again. So we couldn't name all those MVPs or presidents or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Name three friends who helped you through a difficult time.
Raby, Brewski, Allison.
Right. Yep. Three teachers who went out of their way for you. People in your life who've been there.
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Three people who would defend you and stand at your side no matter what.
These guys.
Yep. Right. Three people who make you feel special, appreciated.
Yeah, right. No problem.
It's the people who make a difference in your life, who shape your life, who are there. Those are the ones you remember. Those are the ones who bring you to tears when you think about. It's not the richest and the most accomplished people ever, because we can't even remember the most valuable. People watch sports all the time.
Yeah.
They live
for
the Tigers, and we can't remember who the most valuable player was.
And it's the one thing you want to be at the end of a season.
Right, but you can remember who I went to the game with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I went to that game with this guy, and we had the best time. That's who you remember. It's the ones who care about you, who walk through life with you, who matter. I mean, it's not even close. In my office, I have this giant overflowing folder of cards, emails, letters from people that are these amazing, touching things that say, you know, you changed my life and you were there. I mean, so I just started collecting it years ago. It was all these amazing things. And not a single one of them say it's because you're a doctor or because you were, wrote a book or on the Today. And none of them, every one of them is because you were there for me, because you were a meaningful part of my life, because, you know, you stood beside me and helped me. That's all it's about. I mean, like I said, it's not even close. So, you know, this woman is writing this stuff and, you know, like some of us said, it's wow.
Yeah.
You know, you're missing part of why it's sad is because she's missing the entire point.
Right.
That, you know, what often happens is that, you know, people like kids like hers would say, yeah, my dad's this and my dad's that. And maybe at a party they pound their chest. My dad does that. Yeah. But that mom has the slightest health problem, falls down, gets the sniffles, you know, the people will climb over mountains to get home and take care of her. And
absolutely.
That's who wins.
And right there's nothing like mom.
Yep,
nothing
absolutely.
Like moms. So, you know, so often people talk about their accomplishments, and to me, it's like I don't even care.
Mm.
You know, sometimes people say to me, you're a doctor, but we wouldn't know.
Mm.
And
right.
I'm like,
right.
Exactly.
Mm. And that's your whole point.
Right. Because it doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter how many books I read, how many letters we have. What matters is that stack of letters that I have that I was there for people. That's what they remember.
There's this sappy little plaque that my wife got me when we first had the kids. And I was really ambitious, you know, in radio and all that stuff at the time. And it said something along the lines of, you know, it's not how much time you spent at work or how successful you were, or how much money you made. It's were you there for them?
Yeah.
And that's really what this comes down to.
Well, think about what's harder, really. Okay. I mean, it's hard to be a successful business person, but we could all really, if we saved our money, travel around the world and do exciting things.
Mm-hmm.
But how hard is it to sit with somebody who's in pain and be there for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
how
and
hard
make
is
a difference.
It to accept them and make a difference?
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about who's got skills. You know, I think that, you know, sure, that guy has some skills, but I'll take her skills any day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so would all the rest of us.
Check him out online, drstephencraig.com. Dr. Steve and Therapy Thursday on 96.3 WDVD.
Wayne and Allison in the morning. 96.3 WDVD.